This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I've played in one cold game, the Cleveland.
Oh, yeah.
Like 2 years ago, bro. It was negative 28 with 30, 40-mile winds.
Yeah, that's cold.
On the intercom, they came in and was like, hey, anybody in the upper bowl move down to lower bowl for heat purposes. I had a wetsuit on the first half.
Right.
I couldn't feel my leg. It's because the wetsuit is, hey, I'm hot up top, and I'm freezing down low because I've sweated throughout everything. Every the first game I've ever cramped in. I've never cramped a day in my life. I remember I went home to the wife. She's like, what's wrong with you? I was like, I don't want to be here.
Right.
She's like, what do you mean? I was like, not saying like here in this house, but like after season, we're leaving. He's like, okay. Literally right out of season, bro, I broke to Spain and I stayed there for 3 months. And I was inspired by being frozen.
That's former NFLer Cam Jordan on his podcast about coldest game he ever played in. That was in Cleveland. Meanwhile, tomorrow night, we could get wind and snow in Green Bay. Cold. Hot temperatures.
Oh, Tua and the Dolphins in the cold wind, huh?
Yep. I saw somebody
get the narratives ready. I'm ready. I'm ready for them.
Oh, get them ready, indeed. I saw somebody point out the Dolphins haven't won a game where the temperature is below 23 since 1992. They're probably
since
haven't played
1992.
Well, below 23.
Yeah.
Very. I mean, that was the cutoff. So
there are also stats about Tua like sub 50 degrees that he's like 1 in 10 or something. Like there are. I'll have to refine those from. Whenever they would have played the Bills in the snow, although it didn't end up being in the snow. When they wore the red field goal at the end?
Yeah.
This is the snowball game.
Right.
More than it was a snow game.
Close games up here. 803-0550. We're going to check in, though, with Pat Hammer to tell us about what's going to happen for Sunday. We'll at least start to get a better idea of it. Pat Hammer joining us on the Western Hotline. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. Snow is a chance of flurries in Green Bay tomorrow. It's going to be chilly. But it doesn't look like a snow game. And there's going to be lake effect around, but where Green Bay and Lambeau sits, it's not in the right spot to get lake effect. So it's going to be cold there and breezy, but I don't think there's too much snow for Tua.
Okay. How about for us?
Okay. Yeah, I think that's the focus. So here's the deal. After we get a little rain and snow tomorrow morning, we have a pretty significant lake effect event setting up. This is not Buffalo's event, though. This is going to be kind of the more classic, traditional snowbelt areas that really get nailed with this starting Friday. Now, here's the deal. There are signs that this lake effect band is going to lift north into the South Towns, Orchard Park, and maybe as far north as Buffalo on Saturday, and then it's got to head back south again. And that's the rub. That's the question, is that right now everything's kind of pointing towards this lake effect snow band setting up south of the stadium by kickoff, given that it's a late kickoff. If it was a 4:25, it may be a different deal, but given that it's late. So right now, could there be snowflakes flying? Absolutely. Is it going to be breezy? Yeah, we're going to see winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. It's going to be cold. Temperatures in the 20s, wind chills 19 to 20 degrees. There is a threat of snow, though. I mean, you can't take that away. Could there be snow falling? Yes, but it looks like that heavy whiteout type stuff. It should be, you know, let's say 20 to 30 miles south of the stadium, but it will be close.
So temps and potential conditions. It sounds like a game where I'm going to be wearing my bibs. Like this is you're going full gear for this one just to be prepared.
Or go like the other guy, go in a wetsuit, then you're totally fine. But it's going to be one of those days. I'm trying to think. You know, kind of like the Miami game 2 years ago when it started snowing in the fourth quarter. I kind of a game like that, temperature-wise. That snow started to come down pretty heavily at the end, if you remember that game. But anyway, yeah, prepare for the chance of some snow flying. But now, in terms of what's on the ground, that's where there could be a range, depending on how this snow band behaves on Saturday. There could be as little as 4 inches in Orchard Park, or there could be as much as a foot in Orchard Park if you're navigating, you know, parking and getting around the stadium. So just prepare to, you know, even though Buffalo's not going to get much out of this lake effect, Orchard Park could leading up to the game in terms of snowfall. But again, I really think it's the snow part should be south. The cold and the breeze, though, for sure.
How about people that are using that thruway corridor? I mean, it's a big travel weekend, right? If you're coming up from Fredonia, Cleveland to this area, or, you know, either way, when will it be the most difficult to go in either direction?
Yeah, Friday for sure. Saturday is going to be, that Cleveland to Erie to Angola is kind of the sweet spot for this. So if you're traveling, I would say any one of those 3 days is going to be tricky. Friday, maybe, if you have to, Friday's probably the best day because temperatures won't be that cold yet, so the snow may not stick to the thruway on Friday, but on Saturday and Sunday it very well could.
All right. I was going to say, like, in terms of the winter as a whole, like, is
long-range models, what do we have? The lake is warm?
And it also, isn't this, like, historic for how long it's gone with before our first snow?
Yes. It's last Friday, we broke the record of the longest we've had to wait to get our first flake. And that was almost a week ago. We still haven't had one. So we're due. So this isn't unusual. But I will say that this cold pattern that sets up this weekend has some staying power. December games at home, maybe, we're going to be cold and potentially snowy at times right through the middle of the month. So we're due. I think this weather, it probably breaks around Christmas. But, yeah, get ready for just kind of a cold entrance into winter. Even though it's had a really late start, December is going to kind of make up for it, at least the first half of it anyway.
All right, very good. Thank you, sir. Always good to talk.
Yeah, but real quick, has Brock Purdy played in the snow? I know he went to Iowa, so there's a chance he played there. But he grew up in Arizona, so this may, if he does play...
That's a good question.
I might want to. I could find by temperature. I know, like, that's you can find that. Him in the snow, though, I'm not sure.
Didn't they win in Green Bay 2 years ago, maybe?
That's what I was wondering. Is there a Green Bay game?
The year that they go to the NFC Championship game and lose to the Eagles, where he gets the arm injury, they would have won somewhere else, maybe on the road. I'm not sure. I mean, okay. I think it was the opening round, but we'll look into it. All right. Thanks, sir.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
And to you, Thanksgiving.
Chief Meteorologist. Channel 2 WGRZ, Patrick Hammer. Pat Hammer joining us to give you the rundown on what to expect for Sunday.
Yeah.
Cold. All right. I got to find the bibs. The bibs, let me tell you, it's the top five thing I've ever bought.
What are the bibs again? The bibs are the...
Bibs are snow pants.
Yeah.
Where you've decided you're going to take what you wear up top and you're going to wear fully waterproof, Arctic, extreme, waterproof, snowproof pants. It's the best thing you can have at one of these games. Because if you're ever going to sit down, which you might not do that, but if you're ever going to sit down, if you're ever going to walk through snow, there's going to be slush. Also the muck boots. Whoever told me however long ago.
Yeah, muck boots.
That muck boots were the way to go. I geared up and got everything I needed when that Patriots perfect game happened. And I was so ready that, famous last words here, no weather game could ever scare me again. Because that game was unbelievably cold.
You didn't go to the Indy game, though. Or did you?
What Indy game?
The Indy snow game?
I was at the Indy game.
You were at that, too?
Yeah.
That wasn't the moment where you thought, like, this game, nothing can scare me?
No, because...
What would scare me more than anything sitting in the weather also would always be, what am I getting to in my car?
Well,
if my car is buried by the time I get to it after the fourth quarter.
That's a part of it. The Indy game, I left early because I was afraid of that.
Yeah.
I was afraid... I have four-wheel drive. I'm not sure everybody else does. I don't want to spend the night in the parking lot.
It's going to be a mosh pit, and nobody's getting out of here until tomorrow.
Right. But in terms of conditions I think are more difficult to sit in, the two New England games that year, the wind game was by far the worst.
Yeah.
But being in the stands for that, again, where you sit matters. If you sit in the upper deck on the corner, you're probably getting slammed with wind, as opposed to the lower bowl, you're feeling it, but it's not directly in your face. But a game like this, 19 degrees, 20-mile-an-hour winds, like, that's fine. We'll handle it. What'd you find out about Purdy?
I don't think he's ever played in the snow. He's definitely played in cold temperatures, though. But I do not, I'm looking, I don't think I have any evidence that he's played in a snow game. And Sal made a good point about, I mean, right shoulder, I forgot about that. That was true. He had surgery in the offseason and on it. And if it's going to be really cold, I mean, you might think that, you know, will hurt his chances of playing a little bit.
Yeah.
Stiffness, and even as the game progresses, right? Like, I might wonder how that affects him. So even if he were to play, I really am wondering how effective he'll be. But I almost feel like in my head I want to – we'll see about, like, what happens. Again, you can't trust the Niners on this stuff, though. Like, what they say about him today, tomorrow, and Friday, I don't know if I want to trust them on it. I feel like in my mind right now, I am almost eliminating the possibility that we are getting a full-force Brock Purdy on Sunday.
Yep.
It just feels like even if he suits up, I got to expect there's going to be some limitation. It's his throwing shoulder that he had surgery on, and it's going to be cold, and he missed the last game. I mean, everything adds up to – he might play, but he's going to be limited at most.
And Benjamin Solak had numbers on Christian McCaffrey. So, again, like sometimes we could just watch him play, and other times you could actually check the next-gen stats to see what's going on. And Ben pointed out that, McCaffrey, you can see in the numbers when he hurt his calf. And that the games he's played, speed by game, like his top speed is almost 21 miles per hour when he runs, his max speed. And after injuring his calf, he has not topped 17 once. Like 4 to 5 miles an hour slower. Now, the average speed has come down too. So everything he does, it's the definition of he's lost a step with the calf injury. So, you know, keep that in mind. He hasn't hit a top speed this season equal to his worst game from last season. He's only played a couple, but
he's also kind of up there.
And they just extended him.
And we're doing Achilles injuries, right? And what is he? He was drafted how many years ago now? Like 8 years ago, at least? He's 28 years old. Okay, so it's, you know, not all the way up there. He's not at 30, but he's approaching that age that you would expect where a guy's going to start dropping off a little bit.
Doesn't McCaffrey, by the way, fit in with all of this conversation lately about running backs? Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs. Like McCaffrey, the Niners traded for him, and they paid a lot.
Yeah.
But the idea was, well, he's going to make us better. And if you were someone that says running backs don't matter, you could probably amend the way that you say that. If you stink, they don't matter.
All right.
Look at the teams that – somebody put out a very bad faith argument on this. Like the teams that – let go of these running backs versus the teams that got the running backs. And it's bad teams let them go and good teams pick them up. But those teams aren't bad because they let the running back go. Think of the career playoff wins for Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, Christian McCaffrey before going to San Francisco. And these guys were not on good teams.
No.
And they were the same player. So I almost want to amend it to, of course you want the best players you can, but building at running back as a key part of that is destined
well,
to fail.
We'll see if this year is different on that front, because this was the offseason where GMs started acting differently. And there were reasons for that. The cap went up. There weren't receivers on the market. Like, there might have been good reasons. The caliber of running back that was available, like Barkley and Henry, right, and Jacobs. It wasn't, you know, who would have been the top running back a couple years ago that got overpaid? I'm trying to think of the name. But, like, it was top guys. And we'll see if that transitions this year to them winning, because now they are on good teams, right? Like, Henry's on the Ravens. They could make a run.
Sure.
Barkley's on the Eagles. The Eagles could make a run.
I wasn't saying a limiting factor. But what I'm saying is once they go into a fully formed team,
of course, they
can make you a lot better.
Right. But if you're starting from the ground up on it, that's why the point about the Giants is right. The Giants, to me, shouldn't be head in their hands all season long about, oh, I wish we had Barkley. Unless it's just the embarrassment of him doing it on the Eagles in your division. That, I guess, you could care about. But you're not any different if he's on your team right now.
What are the,
you
what
are no different. The Panthers shouldn't regret trading McCaffrey. Like, he's been great for the Niners. What? What do you think you're going to win one more game over the last 3 seasons if he was on your team? Maybe it is a good point. Maybe, and that's I wonder if we're headed for this again this spring. Not to rush this conversation. I'm not even trying to have it right now. Just I'm predicting that we're headed for a final, you know, stretch of the season here in a playoff where these teams that were already fully formed went in and got star running backs and it looked really good for them. And now, like, the best running back prospect in 10 years is about to enter the NFL draft.
Right.
Genie from Boise State,
yep.
Who's on pace for, like, he's already have 30 touchdowns on the year. Like, I wonder if we're gonna circle back around on that talk here.
We've seen some of the, let's look at two differences here. The two running backs that went the highest most recently are Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson.
Yeah. Yeah.
And which team had more success quicker? The team that was much more fully formed. I mean, Bijan.
Right, the Lions were already ready.
Right.
Yeah.
Bijan went on a team that had Desmond Ridder at quarterback, and they were not ready.
Nope.
And they were not going to start winning because they drafted an awesome running back. Then they get a better quarterback, and it's, okay, boom. Now Bijan can be used a little bit more. Whereas Gibbs, he was almost viewed as a bit of a luxury pick for the Lions. You don't need that. You just signed David Montgomery. Why do you need that? And the answer is because they want a two-headed monster. And that's all well and good. Like, for the Bills here, what does the running back room look like next year? The exact same? Probably.
Oh, yeah. I would think so.
I don't know if Ty Johnson's back, but James Cook's here for another year, and Ray Davis is here.
Josh Allen called Ty Johnson the best third down back in the league.
Okay.
If he has any say in that, I think Ty Johnson's probably back
right.
next
you
year.
You keep the running back room together. And,
yeah.
I mean, are the Bills 9-2 because James Cook's the best running back they've had in the Josh Allen era?
No. He's been good.
Yeah.
But that's not why they're 9-2.
Is he the best running back of the Josh Allen era? I mean, you might say LeSean McCoy, but that was brief.
Like the Allen elite era, if we could pin it down to that. I would say yes. Yeah.
Yeah. You only have to be better than Singletary, and he's more explosive than Singletary. There's no doubt about that. He holds on to the ball more than Singletary.
I
don't think they're 9-2 because of that.
There might be one anomaly, and even in the anomaly, you could find the same point. A team that built everything around a running back and had it work. Well, I think maybe there's one example.
Currently?
It's over now.
Okay.
It's Henry in Tennessee, isn't it?
Sure, I guess.
Tennessee's mentality as a team, what they did at quarterback, the way they built their offense, like, wasn't everything, the scheme, wasn't everything kind of designed around, we have a generational running back?
Yes.
And they were good, but...
They were good. Hold on.
How many playoff games did they win?
They were good, and then what happened?
They would get to the playoffs and lose.
They traded A.J. Brown.
Oh, right, and they did that.
And then they fell apart. Because he was probably more important than Derrick Henry ever was.
Right.
Because A.J. Brown's more important to the Eagles than Saquon Barkley is.
A.J. Brown really is just incredible.
He is amazing.
He's just really... He is one of the best... Really, he's probably one of the best five receivers in the
league.
What
took the Titans down and put the Eagles on the next level? It was A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
And you keep adding to that. You had Devonta Smith. You know, like, the Eagles have a fully formed group of weapons. But if you were to say they're going to lose Barkley or A.J. Brown,
yeah,
like, they'd be in much bigger trouble if they lost A.J. Brown.
Yeah, Brown's two best seasons in Tennessee. So his rookie year, they went 9-7. Then the next 2 years, those were his only other 2 years in Tennessee. Those were their good years. They went 11-5 and 12-5.
Right. One of those years.
And they won the division both times. Then he left and they won 7.
Right. And also, they didn't win a single playoff game in those 2 years. They did go to the AFC Championship game on a 9-7 season.
With Henry.
Yeah.
But even still, right? Like, Henry was and still is a generational running back. He is an all-time great, Hall of Famer, nobody like him. And when a team built around him, they had 1 year where they won a playoff game.
Yep.
That's the max. That's why the MVP conversation around Barkley is going to be insane for the next month and stupid, because, like, what are we going to do is do this again? Are we going to pretend that we haven't had this talk a billion times before about value and, like, taking a running back off a team and putting them on? What happens? Henry's the best at his position in 10 years. One playoff game. You put the 10th best quarterback on a franchise for 10 years. They're probably going to win 5.
Yeah. Larry and Tonawanda before the break. Hey, Larry.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thanks, Larry.
So I heard you were talking about planes, trains, and automobiles.
Yeah.
It's my favorite. It's definitely a Thanksgiving movie. It's probably one of my favorite movies of all time, next to Miracle. But some tidbits. So, yes, it was definitely filmed a lot in here, or here. 219 is where the you're going the wrong way scene is. And then Batavia has the motel scene. But in South Dayton, where the train station is, that's where the Stubbsville scene is at the train station.
Yeah.
And the tunnel, when the train comes out of the tunnel, in the movie, that's actually in where, like, this is my backyard where I grew up in Dayton, New York. Like, we used to hang out on that trestle, and, like, I know that trestle well. And fun fact, the girl in that scene of the train where she's in sitting with Steve Martin on the train, I went to school with that girl. Her name is Denise. And that was fifth grade. And she had the choice, during the filming, it was the musical, the school musical going on. And she had the choice of, she was in the musical, chose to be in the musical, but then she also auditioned for the movie. And they were like, well, we're going to pay you for this movie. So she's like, well, I'm going to go do a movie instead of some school musical, right? So, so whenever I see it, I was thinking, I'd message her every once in a while and say, I saw you in the movie again. So, but yeah, that's an awesome movie.
Yeah, thanks, Larry. One thing about that movie, that's a Thanksgiving movie.
I need to
Starting what, Friday? You have full license to shift to Christmas mode. No one can be mad at you, right? You could be in Christmas mode now if you want.
I was going to say, our tree is up.
No, I know. I don't have a problem. But for people that complain about it, Friday is green light across the board.
Friday, you can't complain about it anymore?
That's right.
Is that what you're saying?
That's right. Okay. If I throw on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer in my house on Friday, can't be like, what are you doing?
But if you do it on a Thursday, you are.
Yeah, I think you can get away with Thursday, to be honest.
On Thanksgiving, putting on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Yes. I think Thursday's fine.
Well, Thursday, you usually wouldn't get that anyway because usually football's
That's right,
on.
Football's
for,
on.
For most households, I would think, at least.
803-0550.
I have the answer on Purdy, by the way. Purdy has the coldest on temperature. I don't have any evidence he's played in a snow game. Actually, no, you can do this by temperature. He's never played in a game colder than 38 degrees.
Okay, so this will be the coldest game
This will be the coldest game of his career.
College, too?
College, I looked, and I'm through his senior season. I don't see anything.
Okay.
So I could look before that, too.
But when you check these, are you checking legit temperatures of these games, or are you just saying, you'd see...
No, StatHead has, it categorized by temperature.
Okay, great.
I think it would be temperature... Keep in mind, it's one number for the whole game. I'm assuming that's probably at the beginning of the game.
Whatever, that's fine.
Yeah, he was... The 2022 team he was on, I think. No, he wasn't on this team. Garoppolo played in a 15-degree playoff game at Green Bay, where he did nothing and they won 13-10.
That's right.
But, yeah, Purdy has not played in a game colder than 38
Okay,
degrees.
Yeah, Purdy's Green Bay win was in San Francisco. All right, we got to get a break in. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. If you want to give us a call, you can join us. How about this? When we come back, there is a team that the coach said Daniel Jones' name did come up.
I wanted to play. I want to play. I want to be on the field. You know, I tried to do as much as I could to make that possible and create a situation where we were both comfortable. But, you know, I think, you know, most of those discussions went on, you know, with my agent and with Joe. And, yeah, you know, I want to play. I want to be on the field. But it's unfortunate. Business side of the game.
That's Daniel Jones. So which team has talked about Daniel Jones? Well, reporting on the Lions here, they didn't talk about him. His name came up, but they didn't talk about him. It's kind of a funny little story here.
Isn't that the same thing?
Well, Dan Campbell, he said, we haven't really talked about that. The name's come up, but it's not like we sat down and talked, so I don't want to give you a yes or no. Just having fun envisioning that conversation. You're in a room. Someone just says, you and me. I just say, Daniel Jones? Uh-huh. And then no one says another word for 10 minutes.
Right, because then that would be his name came up and you didn't talk about it.
We didn't talk about it. The name came up.
Yeah.
Nobody said a word.
Yeah, they only gave the body language only.
It might not be a bad idea. Their backup is Hendon Hooker.
Right. Who might be... He might be okay. Wasn't he only drafted in the third round because he had a devastating injury in college? But he's also never played in the NFL before. So, you'd be trusting someone who's never played in the NFL before, which I might say is a better idea than Daniel Jones, who I think stinks. Right?
Yep.
I saw Mike Jannetty tweeting this out yesterday that, anyone for the Bills talking about him, isn't Mitch Trubisky just, the same thing? What are you thinking Daniel Jones is? He's gonna take sacks, he's gonna make mistakes, he's gonna run a little bit, he's gonna fumble, he's gonna throw picks, I don't know. There's nothing impressive about him to me. And also, what is this love affair the Giants have with him? Some legend just left the team. There's an ongoing war between Rich Gannon and someone from ESPN back and forth about how they're treating Daniel Jones' departure. Like, the dude's not Eli Manning.
Right.
He stunk. He won one playoff game in 6 years. I don't know. Just it was a little strange, I think. He got like a press conference, like, leaving out the door. He had, like, a written message or something, too.
He wrote a statement about the team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Little weird.
803-0550, our number. Bills and Niners, if you have a thought on it. I got a random thing to throw at you here. On ESPN right now, they're talking who's going to represent the NFC, Lions or Eagles, and they were split 50-50.
Yeah.
And it really might be only those two teams. Just, you know, for a little Wednesday pre-Thanksgiving fun. If I were to tell you the Bills make the Super Bowl and you ask me who do they play, if I said Lions and I said Eagles, what does your body go through when you hear each of those names? Like Bills Lions or Bills Eagles? Is there any difference in the way you feel about it?
A little bit. And I like
chances
don't know
of winning or matchup or again. I know I'm putting the Bills in the Super Bowl.
Okay,
but just let me have a minute here.
So I need someone to quickly dispel this fear because I don't think it's a real fear. Because the first, I don't think I like my gut reaction. My gut reaction was the Lions won't feel like the Super Bowl.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Bills and Lions.
Okay.
That's the Super Bowl.
It sounds great to me.
I know, like,
it's just
reality, this is not going to happen, I don't think. But my mind, my body immediately went, oh, that's a preseason game.
You might change.
Like, I've got 20 years of baked in fourth preseason games that are making me like, that's the team? We finally make the Super Bowl? And my whole life goes by. They finally make it. Who are they playing? Detroit. But I know Detroit's better now. I know Detroit's earned it.
And you're going to get a dress rehearsal in a couple of weeks. Where watching Bills Lions both be good,
right?
Maybe that'll prime you for it.
Also, the game would not be in Detroit, which I think would help.
Sure, right.
It would be in New Orleans. You wouldn't have the aesthetic of something about Ford Field. Just it doesn't ever feel like it doesn't yet feel like a big game to me when it's at Ford Field.
There's also it's funny like the way we all feel about different franchises, like Bills Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. Like my blood boils already, and I'm ready to go to war. And Bills Lions in the Super Bowl. There's a little bit of a I kind of like those Lions. I hope Bills beat them.
Yeah.
I've got nothing bad to say about them. The reason I asked you this question is the flip side is you tell me Bills Eagles, and I'm starting to brood over it like, cannot lose to the Eagles.
C4
cannot lose.
Yeah,
I know. This is dumb. I'm in the Super Bowl and they're losing to the Eagles in my head. And no, the Eagles would make me upset. Is I guess what I'm saying.
If they were to beat the Bills?
Just if they... I just don't like them.
What's your problem with the Eagles again?
I don't know.
Just in general?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of me with the Giants, so...
I don't like them. I don't like them that they made the Super Bowl 2 years ago because they got a free pass all the way there. I don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah, but this time they would have earned it, probably.
Probably.
If they go through Green Bay and Detroit and get there... Like, they are smoking teams right now. They are dragging teams.
Yep.
They look... They're so different than last year. Last year they had a better record, but last year they were not impressive. They were the Chiefs last year. This year they look unbelievable, and their defense is a lot better. Right? For matchup purposes, I'm not sure. I've really thought too much about there being a big difference between the two.
Well, I don't need to get that far.
Yeah,
the Niners are a team you might have thought would have been one.
You know the team I think I really want. I think I for all of it, rooting against them, you know, it wouldn't necessarily kill me if they lost to this opponent, and also it would feel like the Super Bowl is if they played Green Bay. I think my dream opponent for them, just on vibes and feeling, is they play the Packers.
A Bills-Packers Super Bowl.
It just hits me right. That being the matchup. And I think I definitely think it's Lions 1 and Eagles 2 for winning the NFC, but I don't think the Packers are that far behind. Like, when Love's been healthy, he has been great again. Like, all of his numbers against pressure are good, against man coverage, he's one of the best in the league. Like, he's had all these good numbers. Like, I think the roster's pretty good all around. I like the coach. Like, I think the Packers, they're third in their division, which maybe is why they're a little further down right now, but I think Green Bay is very capable of getting on a run. But it's just going to be tougher for them because they have to go on the road and do it.
I wonder about their game this week against the Dolphins. Like that's a big one for both teams.
Yeah. I want to be on Green Bay for that game.
Stephen Lancaster before the break. Hey, Steve, good morning.
Hi, yeah. The Bills and Lions in the Super Bowl. The Bills were created in a Detroit boardroom in 1959, this being Super Bowl 59. You know, just one of those silly things.
Yeah.
But they are the two best teams in the league, no question.
Thanks. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah.
Will the Lions stumble? They do have a tough finish.
Like, will they stumble enough to not win their division? Because they're only a game up.
I just mean to not finish 16-1. It goes Bears, Packers, Bills, Bears, Niners, Vikings. I mean, that the Bills are the Bills their toughest game?
Yes.
Yeah.
What are the road games again? They're at the Niners and at the Bears,
at
you said?
At the Niners and at the Bears.
Yeah, the Bills are their toughest game.
Because they...
I mean, they've got a few. Like, their division games are tough. And what are the Niners by the time they play them, you know?
Yeah. 803-0550. Worst call Wednesday coming up. It will involve a call to a sports radio station where a person that's a fan of a team suggested, yes, the team is being paid to lose by a cartel.
Time now for Worst Call Wednesday. Brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center.
Nicole, appreciate your patience. Welcome in.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to air a couple of grievances, several grievances that I have. And I'm going to establish that the NFL, the refs in Vegas are a cartel that manipulate all the games as they wish. And I feel like some players, such as Kaimi, are subject to being paid off at will because they're so good. He's so good. I don't believe he intentionally loses his kicks. I think he's paid to do so. And potentially, to my next grievance, is that the play calling can also be subject to being subject to the cartel. And that dude, I forgot his name, but he sucks. I don't know why he always calls that play where you throw to your left or your right and you have to catch up to the line of scrimmage. I don't know why he does that. It never works. It never freaking works, and he does it all the time.
As a caller to the Texans radio station, also, she later went on to say C.J. Stroud was part of the cartels.
I was going to say the word cartel team was being thrown around there a bunch,
yes,
huh?
Yes, yes. The Texans are losing because the NFL cartel has decided that the Texans need to lose. Kaimi Fairbairn is missing kicks because he's paid to do so. That's Worst Call Wednesday.
Yikes. Pretty bad.
Brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. That was the worst call on a postgame show that we found. One of the worst calls you could make is to skip your recommended cancer screenings. To learn more about potentially life-saving screening recommendations and guidelines, visit roswellpark.org/screening. Speaking of all the screening stuff, I just did the, I'm 45, you're supposed to get your colonoscopy. I did it.
Yeah, nice.
And my review of it is this, of like the prep, because everyone says, oh, it's so terrible, the prep's so terrible. It wasn't that bad.
Like not eating for,
yeah.
What was it, 12 hours?
No, more. More than that.
Yeah?
Yeah, you can't eat for a while, but you can drink chicken broth.
Okay.
And I drank a lot of chicken broth.
Oh, all right.
And that did the job. I, on the scale of people that are that were thinking, man, not eating for that amount of time is going to be very difficult, I was pretty high up there. It was fine. So if you've been thinking about doing it, and all you hear is how bad it is, it's not that bad. I think, you know, I think there's a little bit of a communal aspect. You tell your friends, you're going to, oh, yeah, it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. But it really, my experience, it wasn't that bad. So get your screenings. 803-0550 to join us on the Sabres if you want and anything else. We do have to guess the hot dog of the day.
Yeah, we do.
They've been on the West Coast for a while, and we haven't had a hot dog.
Their last hot dog would have been, I mean, it's been weeks, right?
It's been a while.
They could go Thanksgiving hot dog style, too.
I think that's probably the right way to go.
Rather than Minnesota.
Ooh, let's combine them together. A wild turkey hot dog. But not turkey. Like shots of wild turkey on the hot dog. A wild turkey brined hot dog with... Can you brine a hot dog in wild turkey bourbon? No? Just a thought.
You're brining it in what?
Wild turkey.
Wild turkey?
Yeah.
Or I think it might be just simpler to put some stuffing in a hot dog.
You'd probably do that.
stuffing.
Cracked potatoes.
Cranberry. Something cranberry, right, for cranberry sauce.
Isn't Minnesota known for, like, the Minnesota, like, hot dish or something? And that's, like, a casserole?
Hot dish is a casserole, yes.
Then you could probably do, like, a Thanksgiving casserole hot dish.
Well, could you do Minnesota today and then save Thanksgiving theme for Friday when they play Vancouver?
The leftovers hot dog.
Yeah, there you go. That's the move. You do the hot dish idea today, and then
the
Friday
leftovers.
Is leftovers dog with, and then you put all your Thanksgiving stuff on there. You put stuffing on there. You put some cranberry sauce on the dog. You put
hot,
turkey.
Hot dish is some meat, some starch, like corn, tater tots.
Yeah,
like you
do that tonight.
You could do a hot dish dog.
That's what I would do. I like that.
All right, details are coming soon on the dog of the day. Sabres and Wild tonight from KeyBank Center. And a gravy boat for the first 10,000 that attend. Pretty cool. Jeremy and Joe will take more of your calls and, you know, keep prepping for Bills, Niners. Talk about the race for the one seed, which I think it's going to go to the end of the year. I mean, let's revisit the conversation about who has the toughest schedule. Now that Carolina is off of the Chiefs' schedule,
yeah,
it's going to be pretty drastic that the Chiefs have a much tougher schedule. 803-0550 if you want to chime in. We'll get into it on WGR.